Chapter 50, Paul Dies for the One Who Died for Him. During Paul's final trial, Nero had been so strongly impressed with the force of the apostles' words that he deferred making a decision, neither acquitting nor condemning the servant of God. But the emperor's malice soon returned. Exasperated by his inability to check the spread of the Christian religion even in the imperial household, Nero condemned Paul to a martyr's death. Inasmuch as a Roman citizen could not be subjected to torture, the apostle was sentenced to be beheaded. Few spectators were allowed at the place of execution, for Paul's persecutors feared that converts might be won to Christianity by the scene of his death. But even the hardened soldiers listened to his words, and with amazement saw him cheerful, even joyous, in the prospect of death. More than one accepted the Savior, and ere long fearlessly sealed their faith with their blood. Until his latest hour, the life of Paul testified to the truth of his words to the Corinthians, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed; perplexed, but not driven to despair; persecuted, but not forsaken; struck down, but not destroyed." RSV. The heaven-born peace expressed on Paul's countenance won many to the gospel. All who associated with him felt the influence of his union with Christ. His own life gave convincing power to his preaching. Herein lies the power of truth. The unstudied, unconscious influence of a holy life is the most convincing sermon that can be given in favor of Christianity. Argument may provoke only opposition, but a godly example is impossible wholly to resist. The apostle lost sight of his own approaching sufferings in solicitude for those whom he was about to leave to cope with prejudice, hatred, and persecution. He assured the few Christians who accompanied him to the place of execution that nothing would fail of all the promises given for the Lord's tried and faithful children. For a little season they might be destitute of earthly comforts, but they could encourage their hearts with the assurance of God's faithfulness. Soon would dawn the glad morning of peace and perfect day. Why Paul was not afraid. The apostle was looking into the great beyond with joyous hope and longing expectation. As he stood at the place of martyrdom, he saw not the sword of the executioner or the earth so soon to receive his blood. He looked up through the calm blue heaven of that summer day to the throne of the Eternal. This man of faith beheld the ladder of Jacob's vision, Christ connecting earth with heaven. He called to mind how patriarchs and prophets relied upon the one who was his support, and from these holy men he heard the assurance that God is true. His fellow apostles who counted not their lives dear unto themselves that they might bear the light of the cross amidst the dark mazes of infidelity, these he heard witnessing to Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. From the rack, the stake, the dungeon, from dens and caves of the earth, there fell on his ear the martyr's shout of triumph, declaring, "I know whom I have believed." Ransomed by the sacrifice of Christ and clothed in his righteousness, Paul had the witness in himself that he who conquered death is able to keep that which is committed to his trust. His mind grasped the Savior's promise, "I will raise him up at the last day." His hopes centered on the second coming of his Lord. And as the sword of the executioner descended, the martyr's thought sprang forward to meet the life-giver. Nearly 20 centuries have passed since Paul poured out his blood for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. No faithful hand recorded the last scenes in the life of this holy man, but inspiration has preserved his dying testimony. Like a trumpet peal, his voice has rung out through all the ages since, nerving with courage thousands of witnesses for Christ, and wakening in sorrow-stricken hearts the echo of his own triumphant joy. "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."